Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were raised by Christian parents, Christian guardians, then you were certainly taught the Christian faith from a very young age. There was no hesitancy by those in charge of your care to let you dangle out there in the winds of life without knowing the anchor of the stories of the Bible, especially what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. If you are parents to children now, then you have carried on that tradition with your own offspring. And this has been the traditions of Christians from the very beginning. And in truth, such an idea is natural for all mankind, to train up their children in good and right ways, preparing them for a positive future still ahead. King Solomon, the wisest one himself, prescribes such actions for all parents. In Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Old Testament times, parents were expected to train up their children with the faith of their fathers. Husbands and wives would share those teachings together, and then wives and fathers alike would then educate their young, their children in their homes. Israel's great Shema, their statement of faith, states this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your homes, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. These traditions were certainly practiced by Mary and Joseph with their son, the Lord Jesus. As we hear from Luke chapter 2, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. While the Middle Ages in Europe trended away from formally educating all of their youth, Martin Luther saw the importance of this building block and revolutionized the teaching of all young people. He himself was a benefit from private education, but thought it beneficial as well to open up such education to a broader audience. Knowledge is power, they say, and it does certainly prevent one from falling into ignorance about the ways of this world and into the pattern of continued failed behavior, disobedience, and poor decisions. And while a higher education is not necessary for a successful life as an adult, all can agree that knowledge about this world and about what has happened in this world in its history is essential for an overall well-being of all people. Schools continue to strive on in this venture from preschool all the way through high school and on into college. And our Lutheran schools are certainly no exception, and in many cases are leading the way. It has been long understood that wherever Lutherans have settled in the past 500 years from the inception of the Lutheran Church, they have started and maintained schools for the education of their children. Schools have always been an integral part of our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To this day, our synod operates over 1,200 early childhood centers and preschools, over 880 elementary schools, over 120 high schools, 9 universities, and 2 seminaries. For decades, the LCMS has celebrated this tradition with what we know as National Lutheran Schools Week this year, beginning today. We are blessed here at St. John to have had a Lutheran preschool since 1979 and a Lutheran day school now since 1983. And you probably know family and friends who have been educated in our school. Or perhaps you yourself were a product of this institution. And such an institution as our school is a key mission endeavor out into the world, that of our church to educate the youth of our own congregation and even out into our community. General education is truly important, but a Christian education tops even that. Knowledge of the one true faith works to strengthen a Christian in the midst of struggles in this life. It especially staves off the attacks of the evil one and helps to prevent Christians from falling into false teaching, into false belief and despair. Through their history, the people of Judea, Old Testament, had fallen away from the true teachings of their fathers. Whatever ideas that those people had about a Messiah were lumped into this man as a political figure, a savior who would rescue them from their enemies. Whoever this Christ may be, he would finally rescue them out of the hands of foreign leadership and deliver them once again into an independent promised land. Without the center of their faith in Jerusalem and in the temple residing there, without the proper understanding of the teachings of the Torah and of the prophets, the Jewish people were led into false teaching and false belief. And one of the clearest pictures of this great detriment to the people appears in today's gospel text from Luke chapter 4. Jesus had become known in a short time in the region of Galilee for his teachings, for his miracles performed. And the Nazarenes there in Nazareth were hoping for more of the same from their beloved and popular son. All spoke well of him, Luke says, and marveled at the gracious words that were coming forth from his mouth. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, they thought, do here in your hometown as well. The people gathered there that Sabbath day were educated well enough in the ways of the faith. They had their ideas about the Christ. The crowd goes from speaking well of this Jesus to being filled with wrath. They even wanted him dead. So what changed this people? It's the truth of God's word. They were all fine and good with a Jesus who was doing the things that they hoped for. But as soon as he guided them to the right understanding of the scriptures, they were livid, angry. Jesus taught them that his coming into this world was not as a crowd pleaser, not to scratch where people itch. He was not a pet monkey that you could train to do tricks for you, for your pleasure. Jesus is Jesus, God's own Son, begotten from all eternity, born of the Virgin Mary, all for one purpose, and one purpose alone, not your best life now, for the eternal salvation of all mankind. Refusing then to do their bidding, Jesus became their number one foe. They rounded on him to drive him out of their town, to be killed by their own hands. Yet Jesus finally does utilize his miraculous powers, not in an effort to please the crowd, but to prohibit his untimely death. passes right through the midst of that hostile people without a scratch. Jesus had sought there in that place to educate the people of his hometown. He wanted them to be with him, to cling to him alone for salvation and forgiveness. Jesus made them marvel by saying that he himself was the fulfillment of Isaiah's great prophecy. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your midst. Jesus is the Christ. He wants all people, everyone, to believe this truth, to believe that he alone is the one anointed to bear our sins to the cross. But our sinful natures want to resist. They want to go against Jesus and against his teaching. We are bound to our sinfulness in this life, to cling still to ourselves for our way out and to eternal life. We think that Jesus should really give in to what it is we want, what the world wants, and allow all people to simply live as they want to live. We confess our sins, yet we remain in them. And rightly, you continue to struggle against your sin. But that struggle does not save you, nor does my struggle save me. Only Jesus does. And only Jesus has, for he alone has paid the price for all sin. Jesus alone is the one who fulfills the scripture in our midst this day, in the midst of all mankind. This truth, and truth it is, he wants to be made known into all the world. And this truth he has poured out on you freely and graciously, first in the waters of baptism, giving you a new identity, the name of Christ, the forgiveness of sins. And this truth of Jesus he has given you each time you commune before him at his altar. This feeding, this equipping, this education is the very foundation of your future for this world and the one still to come. The foundation of your eternal future has been established by Christ Jesus and is sustained by him alone. We are blessed to see this happen each year through our school, whose purpose it is to bring the gospel of Jesus to each of its students. You are trained up in righteousness because you are trained up in Jesus, given freely his life, his salvation, through the very forgiveness of all your sins. Thanks be to our God for this amazing foundation in Jesus that he gives freely to each and every one of you. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and to life everlasting. Amen.